It's one thing for a building to be demolished. It's another thing for a person's life to be demolished. And this morning, we're going to look at that. You know, the reason a building is demolished is because it no longer serves its purpose. It's lost its purpose. It's lost its reason for being. And they want something new in its place. And many times when we lose our purpose, then our lives can come crashing down. This morning, it's amazing how quickly something can be demolished, isn't it? Just in a matter of moments. I mean, you think about a building. That building probably took a long time to be built. I mean, I can't even believe how long it's taken to put a Jiffy Lube across the street. I mean, it's been like the whole year we've been waiting for this Jiffy Lube to come up. Because they have to get everything in the foundation built. And then it begins to rise. But yet, in a matter of moments, it can come crashing down. You know, a life can be the same way. A life can take years to build. Building that foundation, your life, and then building with character and integrity. But in a matter of moments, it can come down. I can't help but think of if you were here, or maybe you heard, if you weren't here back, I don't know, about 15 years ago, when Mark Sanford, Governor Sanford's life came crashing down. One trip to Argentina, and his whole life crumbled right before his eyes. Political power, everything was lost. It can happen quickly. This morning, we're going to be looking at the last night, and we're going to watch one man's life come crumbling, crashing down. But Jesus will restore this man. And that's the good news of it. I kind of look at it like Humpty Dumpty. How many of you remember the old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again, right? Let me give you one that I wrote for Peter. Humpty Peter sat up tall. Humpty Peter had a great fall. All the angels and disciples couldn't put Peter back together again. But I would add one more line. Until Jesus came and put Peter back together again. Today's message, I hope, brings great hope to us all of God's grace and his mercy towards us and his love towards us. Turn with me to John 13 or look up on the screen. We're in a series we're calling The Last Night, and this series focuses on one single night, but it's the most significant night probably in the life of the disciples and the life of Christ as he shares with them and prepares them for his departure. We saw last week as we opened on that last night, we saw Judas betraying Christ. Today, we're going to look at Jesus talking with Peter on this last night. If you go down to verse 31, where we left off, as soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son. And he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, I'm just going to pause here real quick. We looked at this passage a few weeks ago when we were going through the I series, and we talked about how we are to love one another. I'm going to tell you, I know the heartbeat of Gidget and I, and probably most parents are, that when we go on to our future home in glory, we pray that our kids will get along with each other. and will love each other and still get together. And I mean, it's pretty cool, but usually one day out of the weekend, they all come to our house, and we also have a big dinner together, a big meal together. And it's so cool because Christian couldn't be there yesterday, but the girls were talking about him. Well, you know, Christian's not here today. Yeah, he's down there with Lauren, blah, 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 and they're telling blah, 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 blah. But it did my heart good because I knew he matters to them. They act like he doesn't matter a lot of times because that's their brother. And you know how they are. They're not perfect kids. But, you know, as parents, you want to know that the family will continue on after you're gone. And Jesus is like, man, I want you guys to get along with one another. I want you to love one another. And I want you to love one another even when I am not here. And it's the greatest commandment that we've been given, right? Love the Lord our God with all heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love our neighbors, ourselves. We are to love one another. Go down to verse 36. Simon Peter asked, Lord, wait a minute, where are you going? Like, Peter, have you been listening for quite a little while now? But he's still trying to figure it all out. Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Peter, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. But wait a minute. Why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I'm ready for you. Jesus answered, die for me? Oh, I'm ready. Why can't I come now? Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. Verse 37. But why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I'm ready to die for you. Verse 38, Jesus answered, die for me. I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. On this last night, Jesus once again is preparing his disciples for what's about to take place, where he would be put to death and things would be different. And Jesus is saying, when I'm gone, I want you to love one another and serve one another. But as he's talking, Peter gets and says, wait a minute, you're going somewhere? Where are you going? I'm not ready for you to go, and I'm certainly not going to let you die, right? And Jesus responds and tells him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter stands up and in his pride says, I don't know. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to leave. In Luke 22, we get another perspective on the same passage. And in verse 31 in Luke 22, here's the conversation a little bit deeper. In Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fall. So that when you are repented and turn to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Do you see Peter's pride? Peter is saying, I'm not like the rest of these guys. I'm not going to deny you. I'm ready to suffer, even go to prison for you. I'm even ready to die for you. Peter really thought more highly of himself than he ought to have. Verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Satan has asked to sift you. What does the word sift mean? It means to tear apart. To rip apart, to tear into pieces. It means to blow you apart. Satan has asked permission to destroy you. Now let me just say that the devil has to get permission before he can attack us. Right? Because he can't just come at us to tear us apart without the permission of the Father. Just like he couldn't tear Job and attack Job without the permission of God. Because ultimately, God reigns. So Satan can't just do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. He must get permission. But you're probably thinking like I think when I first read that passage. Okay, if you are for me, God, why would you give Satan this permission, right? I mean, that doesn't sound like you're really for me. I mean, are you for me or against me? That doesn't sound like you're for me if you're going to allow Satan to attack me like that. I mean, I understand that he's got to get permission and that God's in control. And yes, Jesus, it's nice that you're going to pray for me, but I expect you to stand there and be in the middle and not let him get to me, right? I mean, when I read that, that's the way what I think. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm kind of wondering, God, what's going on here if I was Peter? But stay with me. I think if Jesus told him before the sun comes up that you're going to deny me three times, you know what I would have done? I would have gone home, gotten the door, shut the door, locked it, got in my bed, pull the covers up, and not come out until the morning, right? I didn't want to go through any of that, right? When Matthew tells the same story, Matthew gives us a little bit more light into it. When Peter hears Jesus tell him that he will deny him three times, Peter says in Matthew, "No way, Jesus! In other words, no way will I do this." Jesus, though all the other disciples, though they deny you, not me. You can see his pride. You can see that he feels as though that the devil's not going to get to him. I'm going to stand strong. Sometimes God will allow the enemy into our lives for a couple of reasons. Sometimes he'll allow the enemy to come into our lives because there's sin in our life. It needs to be dealt with. And sometimes the only way he can get our attention is to get our attention. And sometimes the enemy, when he comes to attack, then we go, uh-oh, what's going on with me? Why is this happening? Sometimes he does it to allow us to grow spiritually, to grow stronger, to learn to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. God will allow Satan to mess with you when there's sin present in your life and it needs to be dealt with. And that's what we see here in Peter's life. Notice in Luke 22 in verse 31, notice what Jesus is doing. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you. I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is saying, in the middle of Satan's attack, I'm praying that you will not lose your faith in what is true. I'm praying that your faith will hold strong, even though you're struggling. I'm praying that you'll look to me and turn to me. I'm praying that you'll put your faith in me. I'm praying that you'll resist the devil and you'll stand strong. I'm praying for you even though you're doing wrong. Even though there's sin in your life, I am praying for you. I'm praying that when you come to your senses and you confess your sin, that you're going to use that as a testimony to bless other people. Do you see that Jesus gave Peter two prophecies here? He gave him one prophecy that says, you're going to mess up. You're going to deny me three times. But he gave the second prophecy that says, you're going to get back up and you're going to help someone else. Jesus is telling Peter in advance that he's planning his comeback. Jesus is telling Peter in advance that I am a redeemer and I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to demonstrate my grace towards you and my love towards you. Aren't you thankful we have a God like that who is willing to give us who willingly forgives us of our sins and gives us grace and mercy. Man, that's what he's saying. He's saying you're never too far gone that you can't repent and come home. But Humpty Peter had a great fall. Look at verse 22. Or 22, look at verse 54 in Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 54. So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said to him, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." And after a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I am not," Peter retorted. But an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be the one of them, because he is Galilean too." Remember, he's got that southern accent. He's from Galilee. They heard him talk and say, "Oh yeah, you're not from around here. We can tell your draw does just not fit in. You must be one of his." And at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And suddenly, the Lord's word flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny three times that you even know me." But Peter left the courtyard and wept bitterly. A couple of things there. The rooster crowed, and Jesus turned and looked at him. Both must have been devastating. The bottom line, what Jesus said would happen, happened. Peter did what he told Jesus he would never do. He denied Jesus not one time, not two times, but three times. Three times. Peter made the mistake of not realizing what he was capable of doing. We should all take warning. We should all not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We hear someone has done something awful, and we go, "Oh, I would never do that." Really? You know, we always, when we watch the nightly news, our heart always breaks anytime a parent leaves a child in the back of a car. And it's so easy to say, "Oh, I would never do that." I'm sure they thought they would never do that. I'm sure they thought, you know, that would never happen to me, but maybe they just got so caught up in everything that was going on in their life, and they were thinking so hard that they just forgot they had a child back there. I know that seems like that would never happen. And I'm so thankful now that I know some of the new cars that I get a chance to drive every now and then, that when I get out, they beep if I got my bag back in the back seat, because it tells them there's something weighted there. You make sure you turn around and look and see what you got and make sure it's not a child, which I think is a great safety feature. But it's easy to judge people, isn't it? It's easy to look at someone and say, "Oh, I would never do what Mark Sanford did. Or I would never do what so-and-so did." You don't know. Except for the grace of God, that could be me. That could be you. I remember years ago when there was a certain television evangelist who failed. There was another television evangelist who was really saying, "Oh, that was really blaspheming," or not blaspheming, really just saying a lot of ugly things about the guy who fell. And said, "Oh, that would never, that's not me, that's not." And then when I was, that's about the time I was, when I was in at Southeastern University, and one of our professors said, "You know," and we were all talking about it, and said, "Oh yeah, you know, that's just so sad what happened, and people, a lot of people liked the other guy who was talking about the other guy who fell." And the professor stopped right before he started class, because the news was going around the campus or whatever, and he said, "You know, the one who is saying all the things that he would never do, he should be careful, because you never know, it can happen to any of you or any one of us." And it wasn't much later, but 2 or 3 weeks, and it came out that he too was having issues in the same area. You know, we better be careful not to point the finger, because we never know when it can be us. It's easy to be religious and say, oh, look at who I am and look what I can do. And when these end times, because I believe they're coming, I believe we're getting closer to the end times than ever before. And if not the end times, we're going to come to some issues in America where Christianity will not be welcomed. Where I think we're even our giving, well, we won't get the tax-free exempt status anymore. Where you're going to give because you love the Lord, not because you're trying to get a write-off, right? Where coming to church, you're going to be seen as the strange ones, the weird ones. If that time comes, we've got to be ready, but don't act like you got it all together and that you're going to just make it through without, man, it's going to take God's grace to get us through that. We're going to have to humble ourselves. I mean, they got to humble ourselves now and say, God, help us. Help me today, God, to honor you and to live for you. Peter made this bold declaration that, you know, that he had his act together. And he was humbled. What happens, though, when that takes place is usually chaos in somebody's life. It really throws you for a loop. Humpty Peter sat up tall. Humpty Peter had a great fall. All the angels and all the disciples couldn't put Peter together again. So what did Peter do? We read in John 21, 2 through 3. Several disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the other two disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. They went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Peter, after going through this great failure, watching his life crumble, says, I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go back doing what I know to do. This following God, it just didn't work for me. I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm going to just go back to doing my life. And as you know, while he's fishing, Jesus comes up on the shore that morning and says, hey, put your nets on the other side. They catch a great load. Peter recognizes him, comes running up, and Jesus has a meal prepared for them. And then we pick up in verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus said, Simon Peter, Simon son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. The third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. It's really interesting when you know the Greek here of the word love, because it puts it in a whole new light. You know, we know there are four terms for love in the Greek, and we talked about them in our series, but there are only two terms that are used here. Jesus says to John, John, do you agape me? Notice, do you love me sacrificial? Do you love me with all your heart? Do you love me? And Peter replies, yes, Lord, I phileo you. I brotherly love you. I love you like my brother or like my best friend. And Jesus asks again, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Jesus, I phileo you. Jesus says the third time, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter replies, Jesus, I phileo you. Because Peter wasn't going to go to that spot where he was before with pride and say, you know, I love you like nobody else around here. I love you. My love is way up here. No, he knew his love had to grow. He knew his love was going to be a growing love in his life. And that he hadn't arrived on the scene yet. But that he was going, but that this change that was taking place in his life, that he knew that it was by God's grace that God is coming to him and restoring him. And he wants to make the journey to loving God and being restored. But he knows that it doesn't just, it's just not like, I love you more than anyone else. You see, when as we continue in our walk with God, sometimes it's a temptation when we serve God for a long time to think that we're the only ones that have it together. That we're the only ones who are the right church and do the things the right way. And that we love God more than everybody else. Because after all, we will sing even though we don't have our best this morning. We'll worship God better than anybody else will worship God. Right? It's easy sometimes to get tunnel vision and think that we have arrived and that we understand it all. But I'll tell you, the more I grow, the more I go in God, the more I realize how far I've got to go. I'm not there yet. I hope you think you're not there yet. We're all growing together. We're all changing together. That gives me the freedom to reach out to others along the journey. That gives me freedom to reach out to those who are just coming seeking Christ or don't know Christ. It gives me an opportunity to love them and realize I don't have to expect them to be where I'm at in the journey. I just want to welcome them to the journey. And as they begin the journey, God will take care of them as God will take care of me because I am not arrived. I'm not perfect. And what Peter learned is that Jesus saying, look, go feed my sheep. Go feed and take care of my lambs because you get it now. You realize that you're not way up here and everybody else is down here. No, it's a journey you're walking together. My prayer as we look at this passage as we close this morning is just to, again, God speak to us. Remind us of your grace. Remind us that God, without you, man, we'd be in big trouble. God, thank you for your grace towards me. Thank you for forgiveness and your love towards me. Thank you don't expect perfection from me. But God, you love me anyway.